You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust,
Rose,
and I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
I'm Victoria Cash. Thanks for calling the Lucky Land Hotline. If you feel like you do the same thing every day, press 1. If you're ready to have some serious fun for the chance to redeem some serious prizes, press 2. We heard you loud and clear. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com right now and play over 100 social casino-style games for free. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
You're listening to Creative Quarantine. I'm Angelique Roche, your host. And today on Creative Quarantine, we talked to the funny, amazing, full of energy, extremely talented actor, writer, and just down-to-earth human being, Christian Keys. You may know him from Supernatural or In Contempt or CW's The Legends of Tomorrow or Saints and Sinners. Like, there is Family Business. I mean, he literally has a litany of shows that he has been on because he works hard. And I was really interested in having this conversation with Christian because he works so hard. And what does it mean to take a step back and be unable to work and take a step back and have to like cut production? And honestly, the answer we got is that Christian has just shifted gears and is working just as hard. It was a great conversation for a creative quarantine hump day. Extremely positive. And I gotta say, his community of folks that support him came out. And I got to shout out every single one of them. There were amazing questions. There was funny banter. But, you know, most of all, there were some really good nuggets of being creative and determined and listening to that inner voice, whether you believe in God or whatever you believe in, and following your truth. And that was just a really incredible conversation to have today. And as usual, and as I say every single time, and I truly believe, I hope you enjoy this conversation as much as I did.
Why not?
Why not?
We wasn't doing nothing else.
Why not?
How you doing, Christian?
I am wonderful. I will not complain. I'm doing good.
You are well lit.
Thank you.
You are making long hair look good.
Listen, I got this Cuban, Dominican situation going on over here.
Wavy.
Woo.
Straight wavy.
I might keep it. I don't hate it, you know?
I mean, you have a history of having long hair. I mean,
well, we ain't gonna go there with it. I ain't going there with it. I ain't going down here with it.
None of us would be mad.
I would. I would have to spend way too much money on leave-in conditioner and hot oil treatments and stuff. It ain't going much past this right here. Maybe a little longer.
I appreciate the intention that you used in taking care of your hair. Because most men that I know, even actors that I know who have long hair, and I remember, I'm not going to name him, but we went up to him at a party and we were like, so, we need to know, what do you put in your hair? And he was like, whatever my girlfriend has at the house.
Oh my God. Yeah, no, back then I knew way too much about leave-in conditioner and Garnier Fruit Teas with Ylang Ylang and Pantene Pro-V leave-ins. I knew way too much. I knew way too much about hair products.
It was healthy.
This is easier to maintain. It's just easier.
It looks great. You look great.
Likewise.
You have been making social distancing look good.
Thank you.
And fun, which this is the thing that I do love about watching you progress over the last 4 or 5 weeks of quarantine is that you have never ceased to find joy.
Oh yeah.
In the moment. And it's true to who you are.
It's important. I think I was talking about it with friends recently, and then on one of the posts yesterday or the day before with the bowling. I like me, you know, not from an egotistical standpoint, but spiritually, like the person who I am, the person who God made me, and I'm good to people. So I like the human being that I am and the person that I'm, you know, steadily becoming every day. So I can sit by me. I can sit with me all day. I'm a dance. I'm a sing through the house. I'm probably going to swoop the house like every 3 days. I'm going to wash the walls and clean up everything. But I can do this. I'm more of an introvert, but I'm also an extrovert when I get the opportunity to be. So, yeah, I think it's your level of peace that you have as a person.
And that's real. I mean, and I think one of the things that I love about it is like, I don't feel like I hate to even ask the question. Has there been anything that's been a challenge over the last couple of weeks?
To be honest, I don't want to complain about, like, I got food, you know, I got a roof over my head. I think it is tough for me because I have an addictive personality, so I like the gym. Mm. I like to go to my, that's my therapy. That's my, hold on, where the camera at? That's my, I need it.
I can't go.
So
yeah.
I sneak out in the mornings and go run the stairs or I go hike and then I come back here. I built this, I got it on Amazon before everybody sold out of all the exercise equipment, but I can do pull-ups, push-ups, dips, and like knee raises on it. So I can get some kind of exercise here at home on top of my little hike in the morning. And then, you know, I'm roller skating on the roof now and I'm staying active. Listen, I won quarantine. When I found that little indoor bowling thing, if quarantine was a game, I won it. Because I don't ever have to leave.
Quarantine life.
Yeah, I don't need to leave. I do not need to leave. I'm okay if I don't. Yeah, I can stay at home. So
you know, one of the things that I love about like your entire, you are a working, people go look at your IMDb, there is not a lack of work you have put it in, right? And I a lot of folks know you from Young and Restless, a lot of folks know you from In Contempt. I know you from all your sci-fi work.
Yes.
So funny to me, because I'll be watching a show and be like, da, 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 and I'm like, boss.
I love it. I feel like this too. I feel like once the sci-fi world believes you, then they can believe you forever. Like once you buy in, and I think as an actor, it's just a choice. For me, it was just a choice. Okay, I'm an angel and I'm basically Genghis Khan with wings and powers, and I want to take over the world. And this is my truth. And I like it. And I'm not wrong. And from there, once that decision is made, then it's easy to build out a Michael and who he is. And also with respect to the guys who the people who played Michael before me and after, just trying to carry some of that a little bit, but also make him my own. You know, finding the music. Michael, if you look in the Bible, the angels, they said angels, like even Satan had the most beautiful voice God ever made, according to the Bible. So I always wanted to find a little bit of music in the way that he would speak, just to, you know, kind of sing the words to be a little more true to that. You know, hey, fellas, you know, just enjoy it and sing it a little bit, because, you know, biblically, that's how they were. So it was fun. And then with Legend of Tomorrow, that was amazing. That was challenging, very challenging. But it was amazing to go over there and play with that whole cast. That was incredible. But once I bought into it, then yeah, I can make everybody else believe that I believe it.
It's like you woke up and was like, yeah, so I'm just the great grandchild Marie Laveau. It's no big deal. Just Marie Laveau. And I think for me, it was, so I'm from Louisiana, and so I was like extra psyched to be like, oh, so we're in New Orleans. Cool.
Yes.
Did you just set out and say, yo, I'm gonna do sci-fi, like I'm gonna do fantasy, like this is, because I don't know if a lot of people know, but you are a book nerd. Like you're a nerdy human being. A voracious reader. Is this something that you've always kind of wanted to do, or is it just like, oh, I like this role, and then it just kind of rippled out?
No, I've always bought into sci-fi. Yeah. If it's, it, no matter how far-fetched, you know, the Star Wars, the Star Trek, the whatever, if it's intelligent and I can believe you and take the ride with you, then you got me forever. I'll still watch Star Wars and Star Trek. I'll still watch the X-Men and the Avengers, and I got it because it's so well put together. You know, Reswell, Stan Lee, he stitched that universe together so well. Yeah. Like, I don't understand. Like, he's like the Stephen King of sci-fi. Yeah. It's so they put that much work. And as a writer, I know how much work goes into putting something together like that. And then multiply the stuff that I do times 100. And that's the universe that he built. So I have to appreciate it. I've always bought in, and the opportunity to, you know, play an angel, you know, with powers. I can wave my hand and throw you 40 feet. Are you kidding me? Sign me up. I am here.
Did you say I have powers? Yes.
Yeah, and I got wings. They lower me down from like up in the sky, and I'm hey, fellas. I was like, hell yeah. I get to do it, and I get paid. Oh yeah. Yes. So yeah, I. The opportunity,
but I love recently.
And I always wanted to do something superhero related anyway. And I feel like I have another one coming too, somewhere soon. But another superhero thing, whether it's a good guy or a villain, it's another one coming. So I want to stay active physically, but also stay ready chop wise and just, you know, just be ready.
I mean, that's how I felt about when I saw you in The Boys. I was like, I see you.
Oh, yeah. I would have loved to be any of that. But at the same time, I think it was the perfect introduction to that because that character was essential to kind of keeping A-Train on track. Yeah. And I know Jesse, good cat, you know, real good brother. Dad, you know, so we had those conversations because his kid is, I don't know, I want to say two or three, but younger. So we had those father conversations, and it's always real cool. Same with Jared and Jensen on Supernatural.
Yep.
They're both dads, but like all of their kids are younger, you know. So they're like, "So hey, man, what can we expect in the teen years?" And so we have those conversations because my son's 17. So you know, it's really cool when you can connect on multiple layers and levels with your cast, especially. You know, guys as great as, I mean, to carry a franchise for 15 seasons and they are as cool as you would hope they would be over on Supernatural. So those guys deserve all the blessings that they're getting. So yeah, The Boys was amazing though. It was fun.
Yo, and it's so cool to hear you talk about community, right? Because for you, like, your community is like logged in right now. If you would like to say hello to all the people who have logged in, y'all can ask questions if you like, because you know he answers questions.
Oh, pull up. Please pull ask. And hello ask for them. Everybody who tuned in. If they got any questions, please ask. I got you. I try to, during this quarantine, I've been trying to go live more and do more of this because it's a way to reconnect with the people who are the reason that I have a job. You know, the people who support you, your support system. I don't love the word fans. I respect it, but I don't like my social media family, I prefer to say, or my supporters. I like those better. So you'll hear me say those better or those more often. But yeah, I definitely rock with anybody who just consistently supports the things I do because I work hard at it. I miss a lot of parties so I can stay home and prepare. You know, I miss a lot of red carpet events and screenings. So, because the next day I may have a 10, 12 page audition. So, you know, I need to put in 6 or 8 hours. I need to, you know, go through this scene a bunch of different ways and try it a bunch of different times. Sing the dialogue one time and say it with a Spanish accent this time and say it with a British accent this time and you know, paraphrase everything and ad lib everything this time and just kind of go it so I can own it. It's a lot of work that goes into it. So I appreciate everybody, not only who's tuning in, but who, you know, who supports the stuff I do because I'm passionate about it and I do work hard.
Yeah, and you perfectly, like, that's exactly where I was getting to, is like there's this community around the work that you do, but I think it kind of personifies who you are as a person. Like, I remember the first time meeting you with the In Contempt cast, and it was already a family, and you knew so much about everyone, and like, you, and it was like this intent of knowing people and having that connection, but I think also goes into how you prepare for roles. Like, so for you, what does it look like? You get a script, you're like, I'm going to go sit down with this for 6 hours and 8 hours, 12 hours and make it happen. Like, how do you prepare for a role?
Now, most times what I'll do is this. I will, as soon as they say, you know, hey, Christian, can we confirm you for this audition? My agent and my theatrical manager and that whole team, because there's several agents at the agency that work, and then like, yeah, so it's a whole team. It ain't, you know, just one or two people. I'll read it immediately. I'll pull over in the car, wherever I'm at. If I'm not late for something, I'll read it immediately so I can know whether or not this is something I connect to. And, you know, and I'm like, you know, hey, this is funky. Bright and sharp. I'm here for this. Okay, please confirm me. I reply with that email. And then as soon as I can get home, you know, I lay my eyes on it again a few more times, depending on how many days I got out. If I got like 2 or 3 days, then that first day I'll probably go over it about 8-10 times, you know, just read it, just kind of soak it up, see what's in there, my stuff and everybody else's, because I need to know what they're saying, because what they're saying triggers what I'm saying. If you say pass the ketchup and we're out of ketchup, then my response is going to be something to do with the fact that we're out of ketchup. So I need to know not only my dialogue and my thoughts, but yours in the scene. So, and then like maybe let's say 2 days before, I'll go over it another 15, 20 times, but I'll break it up. I'll go like first thing in the morning, 5 or 10 times, in the afternoon, 5 or 10 times, you know, and then I walk away from it again. And then that evening again, you know, because I'm looking at it with fresh eyes again. And I'm finding stuff now. And I do cheat. I take a speed reading software. So it helps me read probably twice as fast as I used to, but also maintain the comprehension. And I can still retain, you know, I can retain more, but I can get through it more. Because some of those auditions would be 12 pages.
Yeah.
So, and then probably the day before, same thing, you know, another 20, 30 times, just walking around, talking it out. You know, I may put it on my voice memo. And when I go do my cardio in the morning, I just let it play over and over and over and over so I can just hear the scenes. And then I may record it with just the other person's dialogue or the other people in the scene, their dialogue, and leave the blank space for mine. And so that way, every single time I'll run it back different with a different intent or different motivation. Just whatever helps it connect to me in the bone marrow region. Like I need it in here. Like I'm my biggest critic. So if I believe me, then I know they'll believe me. So I work it until I believe me. And that's kind of my process. Basically, that's the root of it. There's different things that fit into it, but it's definitely the root of it.
Well, how does it look? And we are getting questions. So I'm going to get to the first question. So I saw you, Zoe. But how does it look now? Like, this is now, for some people, week 7, for some people, week 6, for some people, week 5, kind of stepping back. Production is not happening. It is halted, unless you're doing a lot of audio or ADR, or you're working in animation and you're doing voiceover, voice performance. What does it look like right now for you? Kind of, how are you staying creative? Obviously Instagram, and obviously connecting with folks, but like, how are you kind of staying, knowing that you were so dedicated and knowing that you have a process, how are you staying creative and sharp and feeling like you're doing what you need to do? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I know exactly what you're saying. I have ADD, so I need to be doing something at all times. I need to be focused on something at all times, because otherwise, you know, I'll be like, hey, flowers, kittens, puppies, roller skates. I'm like the way my mind, but it's a good thing because, again, as an actor and a writer, you know, you get stimuli from every single way, every single place. But in moments like this, like I still do the same. I do my speed reading software every day on the computer. I take a digital piano lesson every day because I want to get better at that. Okay. I used to play as a kid and I stopped because we had to cut her grass and pull her weeds. So I hated the piano because I didn't want to pull this lady's weeds. She was nice, but I was 8. I was like, Ma, I don't want to get over there and pull them weeds and take that piano lesson. So I wish I hadn't quit. So now I'm taking online piano lessons. And then I'm working on my Rosetta Stone so I can pick up Spanish. So I'm trying to, I do my flashcards daily, to pick up certain words and try to activate that side of the brain a little bit as well. And then my typing software. Sure. I don't type really fast. So, and as a writer, I want to be able to get through my scripts. I want to be able to, I want to get it down as fast as it's coming together up here. So I'm taking the typewriting software here at home during this time. I just feel like this is a blessing. I get to come out of this better than I went into it. You know, we all can in some way, shape, or form. Either you rest and you come out, you got some peace. You heal old injuries, spiritual injuries, mental injuries, whatever, emotional injuries. Or you physically apply yourself to multiple things. So I do that. And then I do probably I'll do a monologue. I'll walk around the house and just and do a monologue a few times every single day, but completely different. Like, yesterday I was a shoemaker in 1942. And everything, my whole monologue was about, the detail that goes into the crafting of the heel and the shoe and the stitching and the leather and working the leather and the this and the that and the hours and the calluses and everything. And then tomorrow I might be milking cows in Delaware in 1977. And I might be, the monologue might be a white male. You buy in, fearless, and go after it. And I just think that helps keep me sharp. Because I got 3 shows to shoot as soon as we're out of the quarantine. So I am excited.
Speaking of, Zoe John said, are you coming back as a main cast member on Saints and Sinners in season 5? Can you answer that?
Yes. yes, that deal is closed. I'm excited about it, getting back with the gang. Miss Vanessa Bell Calloway, Clifton Powell, Jasmine Burke, Keith Robinson, Dawn Hafkin, just that whole cast over there is amazing. Swirl Films, Bounce TV, and I think the new season will be on Bounce and Hulu as well, I think. But yeah, I will be back for a good portion of that season, and that's one of the 3 shows that I'll be privileged to work on as soon as we get out of this.
Do we know what the other 2 shows are? Can you share with the other?
I can. One of the other ones is The Family Business. We were halfway through season 2. We were filming that when they shut everything down, so we'll get back into that. So I'm still Niles Monroe, the assassin, on there. I only assassinate bad people, like really, really bad people. They got it coming. They might be dealing chemical weapons or selling arms over here or, doing some kind of human trafficking ring over there. And they got to get it. They got it coming. So,
I mean, you're a vigilante to me. I'll take it.
Yeah, I don't. Oh, so I got to, you're going to pay me this much to shoot him? Oh, wait a second. So... I think the joy is that I get to do all these things that I'll never do in real life. And it's part of my job. So, and the other show is the new pilot that I just booked for NBC. It's called At That Age. So I'm super excited about that. It's like, I can't say too much about it. Okay. I don't know how much I can say, so I'm not going to say anything about it. But it's a really, really dope. The cast is fire. And it's a really witty, very 2021, 2022 professional black family running this enormous business and some of the chaos and drama that goes with that, some of the political implications and maybe, potentially some bribery and some other stuff and some, it's a really cool, it's a really witty, well-written series, and I feel like in my bones that we're going to get picked up, but we're just shooting we're just shooting the pilot in New York as soon as we're out of this.
Sounds like we're going to be seeing you in suits more, which is great. You are a man who wears a suit well.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
I mean, you do love a good suit, so I can appreciate
you. And when I'm at home, it's when I tell you it's Chuck's t-shirts and blue jeans or some camo cargo shorts, a t-shirt, and some Chucks or some J's. Because everything does end up being suits, which is fine. I love it. That's most of the suits that I own. I'll bribe the wardrobe department with wine, tequila, or liquor, and see if I can get a discounted rate. They're already tapered or tailored to me, so you might as well let me buy them.
I that sounds perfectly logical.
Yes, works for me.
I think everyone should do it. Yes. So we have a question from Deanna.
Hey, Deanna.
If I said it right, I'm sorry, boo. Love your acting. Are you going to be in more plays?
I would love to. I think between now and the end of the year, possibly not. But I was actually talking with a really dope director and community activist in Dallas who has a arts and letters center that I've done plays at for other people. And I think maybe one of the stories, maybe one of my novels, we're going to do it as a play there in Dallas for about a week or two. We're going to talk about it, but I definitely want to do some more theater. I love theater.
Yeah. So can we talk about this? Because I don't know if a lot of people know about this other side, about your writing, mm-hmm. and the fact that you are working on both long form and short form scripts and all these different things. Can you tell folks a little bit about your writing, kind of what your genre is and like what you might be working on right now?
Yes, absolutely. Let me see. During quarantine, I am writing the first season of a scripted drama that I sold. And I can't say too much about it yet until the press release comes out, but it's really dope. I would watch it if somebody else wrote it. It's really good. And I'm not saying that because I did it. I'm saying it because, like I said, I'm my worst critic. So I love good writing. I've probably watched every show you can name that's like binge-worthy, from The Sopranos to The Wire to 4400 to Ozark to the new Altered Carbon to, which was dope.
So good.
So good. So good.
Like Anthony Mackie's Mo Mystic, Renee.
Yeah. 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 Fire. I thought it was going to be good. I'm glad I gave it a solid initial assumption because it was fire. Like I went for the whole ride. And then All Rise. Simone Mystic's in there.
Oh yes. So also All Rise.
Yes, that part. Oh, I was almost on there. I was up. That's another story for another day. I was almost on there. I killed that audition. I'm gonna leave that alone. I think they rewrote that character or something like that. But it's such a dope show. It's such a anything legal. And then, you know, I mean, to see us, you know, not being strippers, prostitutes, thugs, dope dealers, to see us be represented in a regal manner, royal, with some empowerment, and still be perfectly imperfect. It's interesting that they have their quirks and their beautiful dysfunctions. So All Rise is a hell of a show.
Agreed. So, but you're working on scripts for this thing that you can't tell us too much about.
Yes, it's my first scripted show that I've ever sold. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Appreciate you. And they love the pilot, so they're being gracious enough to allow me to write most, if not all, of the first season. So that's what I'm chopping through right now. I've laid out the arc for the first season. And just pretty much done with episode 2, and I'm outlining episode 3 now, and then I'm gonna chop through the rest of the first 8 episodes.
Nice.
It's really cool. And I didn't even plan on this. This was like, God was like, hey, you should write. And I was like, you sure? I said what I said. I didn't go to school for that. We're not gonna talk about this no more. Quit being afraid, write. And so I went, got every book I could get. I started paying attention to really good writing. Your West Wing, Shonda Rhimes, anything Shonda Rhimes does. The Grays, the ER.
Have you watched her masterclass? Like, you're literally giving, her masterclass on writing was worth paying for masterclass.
Yes, hers alone. And then I went and watched Aaron Sorkin's. And then I went and watched Judd Apatow's. And then, yeah, I'm getting my money's worth. If I'm gonna pay for the whole kit and caboodle,
I'm watching it.
If you put something on there, I'm watching it.
Look, R.L. Stine did one on writing children's books. Let's be real. Who can find it? But Shonda's was amazing.
Yeah. Like, and then she walks you through the setup of the pilot script.
Yes.
Which is brilliant. And like the way she introduced Olivia Pope's character and the way she had certain, she made Quinn be basically the audience. She's the newest gladiator. So we got to explain everything to the newest gladiator. Subconsciously, you're explaining everything, the essential information to us, the viewer. It was brilliant. It was brilliant.
I've never seen anybody break down the anatomy of a pilot in that, like, as
that well.
It's so beautiful. And her explaining that the first thing she wanted to write isn't the first thing she wrote, and the first thing she was successful at isn't the first thing she wrote.
Yeah.
And it's such a beautiful place to be in, right? Mm-hmm. But God said right, and I'm glad you wrote.
Yeah, absolutely. I will not do that again. I won't. I tell this story sometimes because somebody on this is going to need to hear it. I drew the Bentley SUV in college 20 years ago. I was too afraid to get laughed at, so I never pursued the possibility of it going into production. I never contacted Bentley. I never, tried to punch up the design and really, make it high end, maybe get a clay model, whatever. 2017, guess what came out? The Bentley SUV. And I think that was just, I'm not bitter or kicking myself in the butt, but that was big fella saying, hey, I gave that to you. If you're not going to move on it, I'm going to give that vision to somebody else. So when I give you a vision for something, at least start making small steps and making preparation. So that way, if you sow the seeds, I can bless it. Because if you do nothing, I'm going to give that to somebody else. And that's what he did. So speaking of sci-fi, in 2002, I wrote a movie and I never showed anybody called HOJ 2010. Mm-hmm. And it was going to be the Hall of Justice movie, 2010. Now, mind you, I had no rights to it or whatever.
I had written it.
I didn't show it to anybody. The Hall of Justice or the Justice League came out and they did wonderful for them. So though I say those stories because you get visions and ideas for stuff. Yeah. And if we don't move on them, the regret hurts. It stings. It tastes terrible. It's like kissing the parking lot or licking the street out here. It's an awful taste. So when we get a passion for something, I feel like we gotta go after it. Even if we fail, that won't hurt anywhere near as much as or taste anywhere near as bad as regret.
Agreed. We have another question from Zoe.
Pull up, Zoe.
What was the hardest role that you had to prepare for? What made the process so hard at the time?
That's an easy question. Legends, because as a straight male,
I did question that. I had that question. I was just like, how was it for Christian to prep for this role?
It was difficult because that's not my truth. So it's like, and my beard, another beard. I'm just saying,
it's not your preference. It's not your preference. And that's your truth.
It's not my truth. It's not my preference. But I do understand that those stories need to be told. And those stories are valuable. And those are people's truth. And I did like the fact that Desmond wasn't, super flamboyant. And he wasn't this. He wasn't that. He was just in love with a person who happened to be John Constantine. Yeah. And when I wrapped my mind around that. And I called a couple friends of mine. Another buddy of mine works on every other show that I'm not on. He's on it. And I was like, okay, so your truth, I know you and I know your truth. Is it different for you? Is it as awkward for you? Is this going to be for me when you kiss women? Because, he's a gay man.
Yeah.
And he was like, I'm in the trailer. My character is in love with her. And that's my mindset. I wrap my mind around that and I'm in it. And then when they yell cut, that's it. And I'm like, oh, shit. Okay. Well, guess that's what we're going to do. And thankfully, the director was he understood that. So he brought the extra couple cameras. And I was like, you know, I said, can we get the extra cameras over here so we can minimize how many times we have to do this kiss, please? And he was cool with it because he knew that this was out of the pocket for me. I've done love scenes. You know, I've done love scenes with 30 people in a room, and I just had a sock on stuff. But this was a different level of pressure. So he was accommodating the other cast member. I think I don't know if his girlfriend was there or not. But, you know, it was awkward for him as well. So it was like, cool. So we got it out the way. But that was easily the toughest thing. But I'm glad I got it out the way because it was a challenge. And it made me nervous and it made me uncomfortable. And I don't like for circumstance like that to win.
Yeah.
So I needed to move past that. And I'm glad I did it because it taught me a lot about me. And like I said, those stories need to be told. Even though that's not my truth, it doesn't lessen the fact that those stories are important and they need to be told. So
I thought you did a fantastic job as Desmond. I thought I attached to the character very closely because, you know, who isn't in love with a random warlock?
Warlock demon. He sent me to hell.
Back and forth. I'm just saying, shade. So we have another question. Oh no, that's not the question. But they were agreeing with you.
Yeah.
What was your favorite role to date? That's hard.
It's a tie. Charlie Riggs on In Contempt was fun because I'm a huge Law and Order fan. So given closing arguments to the jury and, you know, addressing the judge and yelling at the judge and the judge checking you and you having to shut the hell up because the judge has more power and he can lock you up. That was amazing. That was amazing. And they do those in these, sometimes they do like a circle shot where they run a tracking circle, basically like a 15, 20 foot circle all the way around you. Yeah. And the camera just keeps moving around you as you're talking to the jury. It's floating around and it's going and going and going. And it felt so regal and it was a dream come true. So that was absolutely a dream role. And I look forward to playing another attorney at some point soon as well. And even a judge, but also Michael. I mean, being lowered out of the sky, 25, 30 feet, you know, floating down, the powers and the royalty of it and the trench coat and flicking the trench coat back when I walked and all that and working on a show that was such a big Supernatural was such a big machine, but it was a family unit.
Yeah.
Like they know each other's preferences. They know who likes this and he has food allergies and this, that, and the other. And working with Mark Pellegrino, he's probably other than Al Pacino in The Devil's Advocate. Mark is the best Lucifer that I've ever, my favorite, other than Al. So working with somebody, he enjoyed playing the devil way too much. He has so much fun. He has so much fun playing Lucifer. So just those guys, man, soaking up the stories, the wisdom. I think Charlie and Michael were my two favorite characters so far.
So question. For you, as you're kind of prepping, as you're writing, as you're shifting your creativity, I think this answer is your working out, is your hikes, is your interactions online. But how are you, for folks who are out there who are trying to find their thing, staying grounded, right? What is the thing that at the end of the day, when you are done with piano lessons and you have done all your typing and you have worked out that monologue, that you're kind of holding to, that's keeping you grounded in this moment?
I think it's my upbringing. It's definitely not a pity party. I look at it as a victory story, but just coming up in the foster care system, probably 12, 15 foster homes, 3 group homes, a couple detention centers, running away, vicious child abuse. That humbles you like nothing else ever will. And thankfully, because I've healed from it, you know, I've forgave who needed to be forgiven. I stopped blaming me for stuff that wasn't my fault. You know, I had a few come to God moments like, hey, we need to talk. I'm I'm struggling and we worked through it. And I think that rough patch in the beginning allows me to stay grounded and level and humble and down to earth now. Like I'm not technically supposed to be here, statistically speaking, as a foster kid, doing what I get to do. And it's so rare. And one, like Tiffany Haddish, she's a foster kid, former foster child. You know, and it's so rare to, you know, to see somebody go through all that stuff, heal, and then put that stuff behind you, except for the lessons that you learned, and really go after what you're passionate about. It's so rare, because some of us end up getting hurt so bad that we don't know how to heal, or we just decide not to. And I think those things keep me grounded. My son keeps me grounded, wanting to show a good example for him. And just knowing, I feel like I'm just scratching the surface. Like, I feel like I got another, I'll probably still act until I'm about 80, 85. And then and then we'll go home.
You know, walk out the set one day and be like,
yeah, all right, this was good. I'm home. We had a good run. I'm gonna head home. I can still use the bathroom by myself. I'm checking out. I'm gonna go ahead.
Then we'll be like, Christian, you got 3 more episodes. No. Go home.
Come on, let them go home. I told y'all, I'm giving y'all to 85. Y'all got to 85. Y'all can work me as hard as y'all want to. But no, I think I'm scratching the surface. So I think I got a lot more to learn, a lot farther to go. And I'm excited about it. I'm excited about the work.
I love it. I love it. And I love the fact that you're always talking about your mini me. Because it's such a big deal, having that family, having that community, and then building a big community. Like, for you, you're going to come out of this better. Is there any other goals or things that you're setting for yourself besides, you know, staying sane? Yes. And then being ready to work when this is over?
Just execution, just following through. Like I said, I'm toughest on me more than anybody else will ever be. So, you know, like, if I procrastinate on something, you know, I get on me about it. Like, hey, come on, man, you know, you handle that. And then go binge watch your Netflix show. Do that first. Do that. We got to do that. Take the trash out, this, that, and the other. Come on now. Let's handle the stuff. And that way we can enjoy that more, because, you know, it won't be in the back of your mind, in the corner of your mind, like, you know, you still got to do the watch call, right? So I just think, you know, stuff like that, just, you know, being disciplined, but also taking enough time to take some time off. So I still have peace. You know, you working hard, I'll rest when I'm dead. That's the terrible idea. You're going to die young that way. I don't want to die young. I got plans, and he's got some plans for me. So I feel like you also have to be disciplined enough to rest when your body is weary, and when your spirit is tired, and when your peace is off. I try to be aware of that, so that way I can just take some time, be like, wait a minute, something's off. My energy is off. Am I not resting enough? Am I not getting my gallon a day? What is it? Let me figure it out. Okay, maybe do I need a day or two off? Do I need to sleep 10, 12, 15 hours one day just to catch up so my body can rest, because I've been going for the last 4 months? And yeah, taking care of me. So I want to come out and make sure that I continue to do that. And then when I'm not doing that, working my entire ass off.
That seems like balance. That seems like a thing. Yeah. I'll take it.
Everything in moderation, including moderation.
So thank you so much. For those who are tuned in, what can they look forward to? Are we just like going Instagram live, all of this? And all the stuff that we're doing for the next couple of weeks, should they be? And how do people follow you?
I only have 3 real pages. They're all very.
You have a lot of fake pages.
They get on my. I don't even know why they do that, man. Because it's once a week. I feel like once a week I gotta post and say, oh, here's another one. And now that we're in quarantine, they, you know, a lot of Instagram workers aren't really following up on reported, you know, catfish pages. So they just chilling. They like, hey, ain't nobody on the clock over there to take them down. Like they usually are. Usually Instagram is quicker with it. But yeah, at Christian Keys, Christian, spelled like the religion, Keys, Keyes, at Christian Keys is my Twitter and my Instagram. And facebook.com/actorchristiankeys is my Facebook. And they're all three verified. Those are my only real pages. Anything else is fake. It's not me. Please don't send no money. Please don't try to meet up and go on a lunch date. So human trafficking is real. Yep. But yeah, those are my real pages.
Yeah. And then hashtag I ain't wanting. Although that is my favorite thing. My favorite thing. I ain't wanting.
You know where that came from? Real life. I'll call like my brother or friends or, you know, whoever. Be like, hey, man, how you doing? You good over there? Checking on you, you and the family, you and the kids. Okay, all right. I ain't want nothing. I'll let you later. Just checking on you. Okay, get off my phone. Bye. But it came from a real thing. Just like, I didn't call. It's nice when people call to check on you. Sometimes they'll call because they want something. They need something. That's cool. Sometimes, you know, depending on who it is, depending on how they treat you. But it's really nice when somebody don't want nothing and just call you like, hey, how the hell are you? You breathing? Did you eat twice or three times a day? Are you getting your water? You good? Okay. All right. You ain't going crazy during the quarantine? You didn't get hurt in the earthquake last night? Okay, good. I ain't want nothing. All right. Bye. That's where I came from. I've been doing it for years. So, yeah.
I feel like everybody should call a loved one and be like, I ain't want nothing.
Yeah.
If they're okay with that.
That's what I say to my mother and my dad. I was adopted twice. And the second family, they really just kind of saved my life. And just kind of, they're my, yeah, that's my, I mean, that's my mother. She's my mom. He's my dad in my mind. And they gave me this whole new extended family and this whole new world of the availability to experience what that love is like. Because that was different than, you know, the 12, 15 foster homes, you know, every 6 months, 9 months, you move it. So they gave me a foundation, and I literally said the same thing to them. I'm like, all right, mother, I love you. I ain't want nothing. I'm just checking on you. And yeah, to where it came from.
I love it. All right, so we're gonna end the broadcast. Thank you, everybody. Please tune in tomorrow. We're gonna be with 24-hour plays. They're talking about how they're doing virtual monologues during this time, so they can raise money so that folks can still, you know, act. That being said, thank you. You know, this will be
thank you for having me.
Oh, you of course.
Creative Quarantine is hosted by Angelique Roche. It's produced by Angelique Roche, Sarah Storm, and Matt Storm. Our logo is designed by Aaron Leffler. New streaming episodes are available Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday at 3 p.m. Eastern and Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern on AngeliqueRoche.com/creativequarantine. Podcasts are made available the morning after each live streamed episode wherever you get your podcasts. Please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and visit us on Instagram at creative.quarantine and Twitter at creativeqtine. Please send this to a friend who needs a little artistic company and stay at home if you possibly can. We'll see you soon.
Have you ever wondered how your favorite performer actually feels? Well, here's your chance. Welcome to The Quiet Part Out Loud with me, Bobby Steggert, Broadway actor and now a therapist to a whole host of Broadway creatives. Part interview, part therapy, this is not your typical podcast. We'll go right to the heart of things with some of your favorite artists, what they still struggle with, what lessons they've learned, what they haven't figured out yet. There's enormous power in saying the quiet part out loud. Are you listening?
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.